Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hulkmilamen Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. I'm Jesse, and I'll be with you for the next hour, 59 minutes at this point, to share some talk stories and some music and my general thoughts. Hope you're doing well. Today, what are we going to talk about today? We've got a story from Danny about the Coast Mountain Bus Company's job action. We've got a story from Nelson about the unfortunate killing of a grizzly bear by local park officials. And a story I did about a cool graphic novel and visual art installation at a park in Burnaby called Hakchu Pakchu. All that, and of course some music, which is where we're going to start, as we usually do on these Thursday mornings, with a little bit of local music. This is a little different. It's still local, but this is a cover by the local dark wave band Ringfinger. They just put out a single. The A-side's an original. If you listen to my other show, the Vancouver Mixtape, on Sunday night, you'll hear that. Or you can hear it now at ringfinger.bandcamp.com, but there's no vowels, so it's R-N-G-F-N-G-R, ringfinger, at bandcamp.com. Anyway, this one probably needs no introduction, but what the heck, I'll give you some introduction anyway. This is a cover of R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion by Ringfinger.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Starting on Monday, August 17th, transit workers with the Coast Mountain Bus Company began job action after their representing union Unifor issued a strike notice late last week. The current job action currently only consists of a uniform ban, meaning that service is not interrupted, but workers will be seen on shift without their regular uniforms. CJSF reached out to Unifor to learn more about what led to this job action, and we got in touch with Gavin Davies, the national representative for Unifor.
Okay, so what led up to this was the parties have been bargaining now since the beginning of this year. A tentative agreement was reached between the employer and the union. The members rejected that tentative agreement. Then, with the assistance of a mediator, reaching both tentative agreements with the assistance of a mediator, the parties were able to resolve some of the outstanding issues that the members rejected. The reasons for them rejecting the tentative agreement were addressed, and the members didn't feel that the tentative agreement dealt sufficiently with the issues that they're facing in the workplace enough. So that led to the second rejection of the tentative agreement. And because of the use of the mediator already, now we find ourselves in a position where there's going to be job action.
Davies also explained that while there haven't been any recent negotiations, Unifor is still committed to communicating with the employer in order to resolve this job action. However, Davies also explained what some of the specific issues are that transit workers are facing and how that resulted in the current uniform ban.
I think the public is well aware of what transit operators that they face, speaking specifically of transit operators, not maintenance or CBUS. What they face on a day-to-day, lack of recovery time, which is the time that the schedule uses to get back on time. And that's what the drivers use as their breaks. So they don't get sufficient breaks. They're faced with long split shifts. They're faced with traffic woes that anybody in the lower mainland can imagine what it's like driving in city traffic 8 hours a day. So those are the issues that they're trying to address. The ever squeezing of funding has resulted in schedules being trimmed right to the minute detail. So members can drive through the city, across the city, spending hours doing so, 2 hours. Get to the end of the line where they have to use a restroom, and they're already due out to start off in their next trip. And in some locations, the restrooms are shared public washrooms in a gas station and what have you. I don't think they're misconceptions. I think the public is well aware of the frustrations that transit operators face.
CJSF also reached out to the Coast Mountain Bus Company for a comment on the current job action. And here's what we received. Quote, Coast Mountain Bus Company acknowledges that the tentative agreement has not been ratified by union members in Unifor Locals 111 and 2200. CMBC remains committed to the collective bargaining process and to reaching a fair agreement. Based on the job action announced by the union at this time, we do not anticipate any impacts to transit service. End quote. As stated by Unifor and Coast Mountain Bus Company, the current job action will have no impacts on transit services. However, if an agreement is not made, then service disruptions may be a part of future job action. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
This is Bird Note. Former Washington Governor Jay Inslee made the fight against climate change a major priority during his 3 terms in office. He passed laws that cap greenhouse emissions, promote clean energy, and align state policies with global climate goals. Inslee says his love of birds is one of the motivations for his efforts.
Birdsong to me is just such a rich part of my daily life. It just perks me up. There are many threats to our birds where we're, you know, maybe one out of eight species are in real trouble worldwide. Obviously, habitat loss is significant, but climate change is the ultimate destroyer of worlds, including in bird life.
Inslee believes everyone has a reason to want to protect the environment.
You may want to have snow in the mountains to ski on. You may want to have air to breathe in August so that forest fire doesn't smoke your kids. So there's many reasons, but one of the principal ones for me is to keep birds in my life. You know, when I hear the red-winged blackbirds, you know, they're whistling, and I think they're whistling to say, get off your duff and go fight against climate change, partner. So they keep me inspired.
Learn more about the difference you can make for birds at birdnote.org. I'm Jonice Franklin.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was End by Doohickey Cubicle from their new record, Good At It, which is out now, came out at the end of July. Nice, breezy, indie pop stuff. Before that, you heard a report from CJSF's community journalist, Danny Nesvedrani, who also hosts the Tuesday edition of Speak Up, and also Analog Archives, which is coming up later tonight right here on CJSF as part of our jam-packed Thursday evening programming. I'm Jesse. Once again, this is Speak Up, and now we're going to turn to a report out of CJLY in Nelson about the killing of two grizzly bears by BC's Conservation Officer Service. This is something that unfortunately happens in areas where bears and humans cohabitate because, the actions of bears spurred on by their proximity to humans. Once a bear becomes sort of desensitized and denaturalized and becomes less afraid of humans, it becomes very dangerous to the humans. And often this is spurred on by humans not keeping track of their waste, not putting it away properly, not securing it, etc. So we're just going to turn now to a conversation between Dara Davidson and CJLY's LJI reporter Jamie Frederick about this situation.
Well, it is one of the biggest stories to rock our little town this year, for sure. As most people know by now, if you haven't heard, last week there were a couple of grizzly bears, a mother and one of her yearling cubs, killed in the Nelson area by BC Conservation Officer Service. And today in the studio, we got one of our reporters with the Local Journalism Initiative, of course. Jamie Frederick is here. He's been covering the story for KCR. Quite a tale, eh, buddy?
It sure is. It's a very disheartening and disappointing, heartbreaking story that we're working with here. You know, as a whole community, I think it's pretty divided, and there's a lot of anger and upset out there, as visible, you know, just talking to people and on the Facebook community pages too.
So it's pretty complicated. What do we know about these bears?
Yeah, so Darren, this sow grizzly was the same bear that was relocated with two previous offspring back in 2023 in the fall. That's been confirmed by the Conservation Service. At that time, I am told she was relocated to somewhere in the Darkwoods Conservation Area, which is up in the mountains between Nelson and Creston. And she made her way back to town in a matter of days. So the Conservation Service are aware of her, and they and others have been monitoring her for several years. The three yearling cubs that have been seen with her recently were a second litter that was likely born in early 2025, so they'd be about 19 or 20 months old. One of the yearlings had a noticeable deformity in its hind leg, which caused it to walk with a pronounced limp. But according to the Conservation Service, in a statement they issued just a few weeks ago on July 23rd, it was an old injury reported last year. The bear was mobile and feeding, and they said at that time that there was, quote, no current concern regarding its well-being, end quote.
So when did it become apparent that the bears had been ordered to be killed, at least some of the bears?
Yeah, so Kootenai Co-op Radio broke the story last Wednesday, August 12th, following a Facebook post from the URSA Project Society, which is a bear advocacy and awareness group based here in Nelson. In that post, they said they had information that the Conservation Officer Service had been ordered to kill a mother grizzly bear. They had been ordered to kill a mother grizzly bear and one of her three yearling cubs, and also at that point, Katie Graves from the URSA Project and some other bear advocates were trying to mobilize public support for the bears to prevent them from being killed. Here's a clip from Katie Graves talking about the mother bear specifically.
The mom has been a great mom. After she was relocated with the two cubs in 2023 and she came back into Nelson, she stayed in Nelson in the Fort Shepherd uphill area for about 2.5 months before she went to go den. She got into someone's open compost. I mean, that's the worst thing she did. She's very good at knowing how to coexist with people and teaching her kids to do the same thing, which is really like making our grizzly population better for it, right?
Yeah, so in addition to talking to Katie and some other bear advocacy folks, I immediately reached out to the province's Ministry of Environment and Parks, which oversees the Conservation Officer Service, and I requested an interview. I was hoping to get more information from the service about what Katie and the URSA Project folks had been telling me, but I guess by the time we learned about it, the decision had already been made and was being carried out. And I wasn't ultimately granted an interview. And then on Wednesday evening, I received a statement from the ministry saying that one yearling with an injured leg had been, their words, euthanized by conservation officers following consultation with provincial wildlife vet and wildlife biologists with the Ministry of Waterland and Resource Stewardship.
Okay. Should be worth noting that this story has picked up some at least provincial coverage. CTV News has covered it out in Vancouver. It's a touchy subject for people right across the province because we all deal with this. What is particularly controversial about the euthanization and or killing of this these bears in particular?
Yeah, so I think with the young bear in particular, among many other things, one of the big questions that many people have is how this particular yearling went from being, quote, you know, no current concern regarding its well-being on July 23rd to then being ordered to be killed in a span of 2.5 or 3 weeks. And, you know, certainly things can happen. But the Conservation Service, in my opinion, still hasn't fully answered that. Mm-hmm. The next day, on Thursday, the URSA Project and some other bear advocacy folks held a public rally in front of the Pink Government Building in downtown Nelson. And, you know, amid their tears and anger and upset, there were about 30 people there, including representatives from some of the local First Nations groups, demanding answers and an explanation for the Conservation Service's actions. And April Giroux was one of the organizers of the rally.
It would be really great if we could have someone from conservation come out and talk to us and be accountable. Be accountable to the people of Nelson. We're taxpayers. We're paying their wage. I would like to know the reason for killing these bears, the one bear that they've killed so far and the other one that's set to be destroyed as far as I know.
Yeah, so that sentiment seems to be shared by many people in the community who would like to have more information from the Conservation Service about how they make their decisions. But there was no one from the Conservation Service at the rally, and there were no further public statements from them until Friday morning, August 14th, and that's when they published on their Facebook page that they had killed the mother grizzly bear as well. Mm-hmm. They said that the remaining two yearling cubs had been captured and relocated, but they didn't say where, only that the bears would continue to be monitored.
So in regards to the Conservation Officer Service, this is something that's a little off script for you and I, but you got to think some of these guys are local dudes. They're local people. They've been longtime local families. They are conservation minded. They have dedicated their careers to conserving. Got to be really, really terrible for these guys to have to do some of this stuff.
I think so.
Nobody's enjoying this.
No, right? And you know, I think that's one of the kind of key messages that we need to get out there is just to kind of keep everyone's humanity in mind when we're making comments about government officials, and this extends to biologists as well. I saw a post on Facebook this morning from a wildlife biologist who said she's very bare-minded and wants to kind of lower the temperature in that regard. Mm-hmm. So the Conservation Officer Service is governed by policy, which anyone can read online. It's in a document entitled Human Grizzly Bear Family Unit Conflict Response Guidelines. Mm-hmm. I think in this case, it's safe to say that people are mostly concerned about how that policy has been applied. You know, basically, the policy groups bears into three categories, and in order to do what they would call, quote, lethal removal of a bear, it has to be considered Category 1 or have been escalated to Category 1. Categories 2 and 3, there's maybe some problems with that bear, but they're monitoring it. But Category 1 means it has either been deemed to pose a serious threat to public safety, have caused significant property damage, or be injured or suffering from distressed health.
So it's a wildlife biologist from the Ministry of Waterland Resources that makes the decision. Can we explain why the mom bear was killed?
Yeah, well, the Conservation Service said that she was killed to ensure public safety, that she had exhibited, this is a quote from their statement on the Facebook page, she had exhibited food condition behavior and a significant loss of fear of people, including repeatedly accessing residential properties and non-natural food sources such as fruit trees and barbecues, and regularly remaining in close proximity to people.
So what is controversial about that?
So I think this is where things kind of leave the realm of fact and start verging into the realm of opinion, and obviously emotions are running very high. I think the overly simple answer is that many people don't think it's right or fair that the bears were killed for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And many in the community see the bears as having been doing things right, you know, in a sense. As far as we know, none of them had exhibited aggressive behavior toward humans, for one thing. But unfortunately, that alone does not mean that they wouldn't be deemed to pose some level of threat to public safety.
Right.
So I'm speculating here quite a lot, as the Conservation Officer Service has not offered any further explanation about incidents that might have occurred to escalate these bears to Category 1 under their own policy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've spoken with biologists outside of the service who have said that the COS usually don't kill a bear unless there are circumstances that meet those criteria I mentioned above.
If you're just tuning in, everybody, Jamie Frederick is with us, KCR journalist, has been covering the story on the bear family that has been split up. Two of them exterminated. It broke the story too. Great work, man. By the way,
thank you.
Kootenai Cooperative Radio broke the story before everybody else, and that's true. I checked the Star and checked my Nelson now. So, terrific work.
Well, I should give a credit where it's due to Patricia Samuga, who alerted me to what was happening. I hadn't seen the post myself, but she brought that to my attention. So thanks to her, we were able to get on this right away.
Good reporters got to have good contacts. So there's a petition in the works as well, right?
Yeah, from what I understand, there is a petition on change.org called Justice for Wonder and Nell. Wonder and Nell are the names that some in the community had given the two bears that were killed, Nell being the mother and Wonder the yearling cub with a limp.
Mm-hmm.
The petition is calling the Conservation Service, quote, a renegade agency and demanding greater accountability. And as of Sunday evening, I haven't checked it this morning, but it had 762 signatures.
Is it fair to call the Conservation Service a renegade agency, given, in your opinion, given what you've learned about the entire situation?
I don't know that I can comment, you know, squarely on that. I think what we all want is for the Conservation Officer Service to do is to be more transparent with the public in their communications and in explaining how the decisions were reached to kill these two bears, explaining how those actions were carried out once those decisions were reached. I'm hearing some disturbing things in the community, which I don't think I'm ready to repeat on air at this time because I haven't been able to corroborate anything, there's some disturbing information out there about how the bears were, quote, dispatched. So, you know, I don't know if it's fair or not. I mean, I certainly have, I feel for the individual conservation officers in this situation because I don't think, you know, I don't think they necessarily, from what I've been told from certain people in the community, it sounds like some of these orders are coming maybe even from above the Conservation Officer Service, so possibly Ministry of Environment and Parks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think we just all really need to remember these are our friends and neighbors, and while we're not happy with the outcome for these two grizzly bears, like, let's just keep in mind everyone is human being here. Lisa Thompson from WildSafe BC has resigned her position. So WildSafe is one of the organizations. Her contract is run through the city and the RDCK, but she has left her position.
Mm-hmm.
Due to this incident and some of the feedback she's received from the public who felt that maybe some of her efforts contributed.